Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Check Your Financial Privilege by Alex Gladstein is a 2022 nonfiction book about Bitcoin, human rights, and the global inequalities built into modern money systems. Rather than treating Bitcoin only as an investment or speculative technology, Gladstein presents it as a response to financial repression, censorship, and currency instability in countries where people cannot rely on banks or governments to protect their savings and transactions. The book is shaped by reporting and commentary on cases from around the world, showing how monetary access can determine whether people can preserve wealth, send remittances, support dissent, or simply participate in daily life. Its central purpose is to make readers in stable economies recognize that what feels ordinary to them is often a form of privilege unavailable to billions of others. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Bitcoin as a response to financial repression and state control. A core idea in the book is that money is not politically neutral. Gladstein argues that in many countries, governments use the financial system as an extension of state power, freezing accounts, restricting transfers, debanking critics, and limiting access to hard currency. In that environment, ordinary banking can become a tool of censorship rather than a safeguard of freedom. The book explains why Bitcoin matters in such contexts. It offers a monetary network that is not controlled by a single government or institution. That makes it relevant for people who need to move value without asking permission. This framing is important because it shifts Bitcoin away from a narrow trading narrative and toward a civil liberties argument. Gladstein is not claiming that Bitcoin solves every political problem. He is showing that, for people under pressure from authoritarian or unstable systems, it can function as a practical escape route when traditional finance is part of the problem. Secondly, financial privilege and the unequal geography of money. The title itself points to one of the book's most important arguments: access to stable money is not evenly distributed. Gladstein asks readers in reserve currency countries and mature financial systems to recognize that they benefit from privileges many others do not have. In weaker economies, people may face rapid inflation, capital controls, unreliable banks, or payment systems that fail during crises. Those conditions change the meaning of money from a convenience into a survival tool. The book's value lies in making this inequality visible without reducing it to abstract economics. It shows how the ability to save, transact, and protect purchasing power depends heavily on geography and political conditions. That perspective also challenges readers in wealthier countries to think beyond their own experience. What seems like normal financial infrastructure may, elsewhere, be a luxury. By naming this gap as financial privilege, Gladstein creates a framework for understanding why Bitcoin can be attractive long before it is profitable. Thirdly, human rights, dissidents, and the practical use of freedom money. Gladstein's treatment of Bitcoin is closely tied to human rights activism. The book presents Bitcoin as useful to dissidents, journalists, aid workers, and ordinary citizens who need a way to store or send money when other channels are blocked. This is one of the book's defining distinctions from mainstream crypto writing. Instead of focusing on technology for its own sake, Gladstein examines how monetary tools affect the ability to organize, donate, flee, and survive. In this view, freedom of payment is connected to freedom of speech, association, and movement. The practical logic is straightforward: if an individual or organization can be financially isolated, many other rights become harder to exercise. The book therefore makes a case that financial access is part of the broader human rights environment. Its examples from places such as Cuba, Sudan, Afghanistan, and elsewhere are meant to show that Bitcoin adoption is often driven by necessity rather than ideology. For those users, the technology is not an abstract asset class, but a working instrument of resilience. Fourthly, why Bitcoin is different from other digital assets and payment systems. Another major thread in the book is the claim that Bitcoin is structurally different from most other crypto assets and from centrally managed digital payment systems. Gladstein emphasizes decentralization, censorship resistance, and proof of work as the features that make Bitcoin durable. The point is not simply that Bitcoin is old or popular, but that its monetary rules are difficult to change and its network is distributed enough to resist control by insiders or states. That makes it suitable, in his view, as a non-sovereign form of money. The book contrasts this with systems whose governance can be altered by a small group, or with stablecoin-like arrangements that still depend on the power structures of the existing financial order. This distinction matters because the book is not a generic endorsement of all blockchain applications. It is an argument for one specific monetary design that can preserve autonomy under pressure. The analysis is technical in spirit, but it is always tied to a social result: resistance to censorship and debasement. Lastly, reporting, case studies, and the book's argument style. Check Your Financial Privilege is best understood as a collection of reporting-driven essays rather than a formal academic theory book. Gladstein builds his case through examples, historical context, and field observation. drawing on stories from countries where monetary instability and political repression intersect. This structure gives the book immediacy and helps connect large ideas to lived experience. It also explains why the book is persuasive to readers who may not be deeply technical. The argument is grounded in real-world consequences rather than speculation about future. At the same time, the book's essay format means it is more interpretive than exhaustive. It is designed to persuade readers that Bitcoin has a human rights function, not to provide a complete economic model of every monetary system. That gives the book a clear identity within the Bitcoin literature. It is less about price prediction or trading strategy and more about moral and political interpretation. Readers looking for a technology-centered or investment-centered crypto book will find a different kind of work here, one that links monetary design to freedom and dignity. In conclusion, Check Your Financial Privilege is most useful for readers who want to understand Bitcoin in political and humanitarian terms rather than as a speculative asset. It will be especially relevant to people interested in human rights, monetary history, censorship resistance, development, and the social consequences of weak currencies. The book also offers valuable perspective for readers in wealthy countries who may not realize how much their financial stability depends on institutions they take for granted. Its main benefit is conceptual. It provides a clear framework for seeing money as infrastructure that can either protect freedom or enable control. Compared with many books in the Bitcoin and crypto category, this one stands out because it is not primarily about price, trading, or technical novelty. Instead, it argues that Bitcoin matters where ordinary finance fails people most severely. That focus gives the book urgency and moral clarity. Even readers who remain skeptical of Bitcoin are likely to come away with a better understanding of financial repression, global inequality, and why monetary access can be a human rights issue. If you would like to support Alex Gladstein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.